I would like to refer to a few passages of Scripture. First of all, in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 10. And Romans 10, which is on page 1361 from the Bible I'm reading from, and verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the glad tidings, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So faith then is by a report, but the report by God's word. And then we read from the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 2. That's on page 1450. "For indeed we have had glad tidings presented to us, even as they also. But the word of the report did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard." And then can we read from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, in the Old Testament, on page 282, and verse 8. "And before they had lain down, she, that is Rahab, went up to them upon the roof and said to the men, 'I know that Jehovah has given you the land, and that the dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard that Jehovah dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. We heard of it, and our heart melted, and there remained no more spirit in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." And in the First Epistle to the Thessalonians, in chapter 2, and verse 13, that's on page 1428. "And for this cause we also give thanks to God unceasingly, that having received the word of the report of God by us, ye accepted not men's word, but even as it is truly God's word, which also works in you who believe." And finally, I want to read from the Revelation, last book of the Bible, and chapter 20. That's on page 1507 and verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is that of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged each according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." And verse 8 of the next chapter. "But to the fearful and unbelieving and sinners and those who make themselves abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This scripture in Romans has come before me. And what Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" People that know the Bible, know the scriptures, will know that Paul is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah lived 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. And he was a man who had to do with God. He was a man who saw the glory of God. And he realized that he was an unclean man. And God touched his lips, and he asked for someone to take a message to his people. And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." The preacher tonight isn't promoting himself. He seeks to be a voice, bringing the message to those of you that are here tonight, to all of us, including myself. Are we prepared to hear what God is saying? And also, are we those who are believers? Do we believe the report? The report has come. We sung in our hymn, The message sounding out from the throne above. This isn't something that I've thought up tonight, a figment of my imagination. The gospel is telling us of what God has in mind for men and women and children. God wants to bless people, bring them into salvation. But you know, unless we believe, there's going to be no blessing for us. God is calling on us to believe. Think of Isaiah's report. What did he write in Isaiah 53? He spoke of the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. It was a word to Israel about their Messiah who was coming. As I said, 800 years before Jesus came, testimony was given by God that their Messiah was coming to this earth. But you know, when Jesus came to this earth, he came to Israel, to his people here. They didn't know him. They rejected him. They refused him. And the consequences of that have been tragic for that nation, being felt even today. They said, when Jesus was crucified, his blood be on us or on our children. What a terrible thing to say. And they've suffered ever since. Israel will come into blessing. One day they will recognize their Messiah. It's a wonderful thing. For God in his grace will still reach out to his people and bring them into blessing, because God cannot be thwarted in his thoughts. But tonight I've read of those that have refused the message, and I've read of two that accept the message. Read of the people of Israel again when they came in Hebrews, when they came to the Jordan, and they were to go over into the land. And you know what? They didn't believe the glad tidings of the land, and they missed the blessing. Oh, friend, I trust there's no one in this room tonight who's going to miss the blessing that God has in mind for you. We read of Rahab as well. There was a woman, some of us were reading of that this week. Someone realized that. But she believed the report. And what I want to get home to everyone here tonight is to be a believer. Believe what God is reporting. Who has believed our report? What a cry that is, you know. Who has believed our report? The gospel goes out week by week. How many people do not believe it, won't accept it? But I trust that everyone in this room will accept the glad tidings tonight. And when read of that company in Thessalonica, those were people that Paul went to preach the gospel to them. It says about them that they believed it. It was a report that came to them, and they accepted it not as what Paul said, they accepted it as what God was saying to them. So it says here in Romans, it says, they have not obeyed the glad tidings. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith in is by report, but the report by God's word. So what are the glad tidings? The glad tidings tells us at the beginning of Romans, God's glad tidings concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Think of him, the one who came from heaven. Tells us also in Timothy, in relation to the Lord Jesus, it says God has been manifested in flesh, been justified in the spirit, has appeared to angels, has been preached among the nations, has been believed on in the world, has been received up in glory. There is testimony given to what Jesus, that God has been here as a man in flesh. He came from heaven. He came to this earth. God came down. Think of that, God coming down and making himself known to his creature as a man. How did he come? He came into that manger of Bethlehem in the lowest and poorest of circumstances. Each of us knows the story, we might say, of Jesus coming into this world. But what did he come to do? It's a Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You say, well, who are sinners? We're all sinners. Scripture tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The preacher does not stand here tonight as one who is above anybody else here. I can only talk of myself as a sinner saved by God's grace. And that's what God wants to do with you tonight. He wants to save you by his grace. He wants to bless you. He wants to forgive you your sins. He wants you to realize that you have sins, that you've sinned against God. Not against me, but you sinned against God. And God can bring in blessing, because the work that Jesus did on the cross is enough to save you, my friend. And what it meant was for Jesus, the Son of God, coming into this world. He came to go to that cross where he was hung, and where he was put on that cross, and where he was slaughtered, you might say, by men. But he was there to die as a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Wonderful Well, wonderful report we have in relation to the glad tidings that Jesus is a Saviour who died for you. He died to bless you and to save you. And God is all God is asking for you is to repent towards him, have your faith and trust in what Jesus has done. He shed his precious blood to save you. On that cross, his blood was shed. You know, they pierced his side with a spear. John says, out flowed blood and water. And the blood and water is for the forgiveness and for the cleansing of your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I wish that everyone here tonight can just lay hold of that in their souls. That your forgiveness isn't on how you feel about it, it's on what Jesus has done on the cross and what God is prepared to do. He's prepared to bless you tonight through the preaching of the word if you would only accept the report that is coming to you. So this Isaiah speaks there in chapter 53 in relation to the sufferings of Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What a saviour Jesus is. He went that way for each one of us. He went into death. He was buried. He rose again. Think of that. Think of think of the miracle of all that Jesus has done. We sung in a hymn. By him was great. He paid in full the price. Oh, love immense, astounding. Oh, wondrous sacrifice. What a sacrifice that was on that cross. You think of all that was hurled against Jesus, all the abuse that he took. You read of it in the scriptures, the abuse of the soldiers and the crowds. And Jesus went through with it because he loved you, my friend. What lies behind the gospel message is God's love for you. And Jesus died to save you, that he might have you for himself and for his pleasure, and that you might have peace and joy in believing in Jesus. And so I read in that scripture in Hebrews, you know, what a moment this was in history of the people of the children of Israel. God had delivered them out of Egypt, taken them through the Red Sea. Some of you may know all about the Red Sea and how God opened a way for them. He took them out and he promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. But they went through the wilderness. And as they went through the wilderness, they came to the land. And spies were sent out into the land. And they brought back fruits of that land. And a message was given, a report was given about the glad tidings of the land. And you know, the people of Israel, they refused it. We're not able for this, they said. There were two people, Joshua and Caleb, and they said that it's a good land and it's for us to go. We can get it. But they saw the enemies were too great for them and they refused the glad tidings of the land. This is a word to Christians too, you know, that we might refuse the blessings that God is offering us. The glad tidings of the heavenly land. God has wonderful blessings in store for us. If only we will accept them for ourselves and go in for them. There'd be no heart of unbelief. It says here, we have had glad tidings presented to us, even as they also. They had glad tidings and they refused it. It says, because the word of the report did not profit them, not being mixed with faith with those that heard. So it's faith that is needed. Faith to trust God and his word. I can't show you anything physically. The people of Israel had evidence of the land. They brought back grapes and pomegranates and other things to witness of the wonderful land that God had promised them. But they still turned their backs on God and refused it. And all of those millions that were taken out of Egypt, all apart from two, died in the wilderness. Oh, how sorrowful it was. Of course, we know eventually they did go over, but only two, Joshua and Caleb, who had faith and believed in God's word. Well, are we going to trust God, take him at his word? It says here, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith with those that heard. What God is looking for from you tonight is to faith. That means to trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Take God at his word. His word can be, this is God's word, the scriptures. I trust there's no one here that doesn't believe that this is God's word. There are infidels who will try and discount the scriptures. But dear hearer, it is God's word that has come to us in a written form. But God too speaks to us by his spirit. That's what we sung in him. The spirit now bears witness to what Christ has done. Because Jesus has been glorified. He was buried, he was raised again, but he's been glorified and he's ascended at God's right hand. And the Spirit has been sent from heaven to witness to where Jesus is and to what he has done. And so I read of Rahab. As I said, we were speaking of that in our reading this week. But think of what she says here. It's a remarkable scripture, really. We might say, well, she wasn't really a very nice woman, was she? Rahab the harlot. And you know, none of us are really very nice, are we? If we look into our hearts, the Lord says in Mark 7, what's in the heart of man and out what comes out of it. And we have to accept that what we are before God is unholy and unrighteous. But you know, God, he wants to bless us. And she'd heard what had happened. You see, she believed more than what the people of Israel did. She believed that when they'd heard all that God had done with the Red Sea and heard all that he'd done in destroying these enemies, and she knew that they were coming. And she says, "We heard of it, and our heart melted, and there remained no more spirit in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is the God of the heavens above and on the earth beneath." Do we believe in this God? Do we believe in the power and might of this God as Rahab did? You know, as I say, the people of Israel, they didn't believe. But Rahab and her household and those that were with her, they believed God. They took him at his word. And that's what the preacher is asking you to do tonight, to take God at his word, to take what he said. You've heard the glad tidings. If you hear the gospel, it's your responsibility to respond to it. It's not down to me. It's not down to anyone else. It's down to you, between you and God. Have you had a transaction with Jesus? Have you come to confess him as your Lord, as your Savior? He is able to forgive you because he has died to save you. And so she realized this, and the story of it, of course, is when the people of Israel went over the River Jordan, they came to Jericho, the walls came down, and Rahab and her household were saved because she trusted in the word of God. You could be saved from the judgment that's coming. We've read of judgment later on. I'll come to that in a minute. But there was judgment coming upon Jericho, and Rahab believed God. People will laugh at you today if you speak about judgment to come. You say, well, people have been talking about it ever for as long as I know. But it is coming. God is going to judge this whole habitable earth by the man whom is appointed, and that is Jesus. And the proof of that is he raised him from amongst the dead. We preach a living, risen Saviour. How vital the resurrection is to our Christian faith, to realise that we're preaching not a dead Christ, but a living Christ, one who's done everything for God's satisfaction. And he is the one who's coming here to reign. Soon he's going to take up his throne and his rights on this earth. The world is in a terrible mess. I don't think anybody in this room tonight would argue about the mess that there is in the world. How is it going to be resolved? The politicians have no answers. They're just futile in what their effort and in their efforts. But God is going to come in through his man, through Christ. The one, the earth's rejected king, will soon be acknowledged by everyone as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this blessed person can be your saviour. And that's wonderful. That's precious, because that's personal. It's not just a king. It's someone who can be personal to your heart if you trust him as the one that saved you from your sins. Realise that what he did on that cross was for you. Don't worry about what someone else might be thinking next to you. Take it personally to your own heart that Jesus died to save you, and he wants to bless you, to forgive you your sins, and to bring you into a living relationship with himself. And so I read of this company in Thessalonica. Think of Paul when he was here and the missionary journeys that he undertook. And think of him coming to this place in Thessalonica. He had quite a lot of suffering, did Paul, in his journeys here. But he came here. It says of them that they gave thanks to God unceasingly, that having received the word of the report of God by us, he accepted not men's word, but even as it is truly God's word, which also works in you who believe. Tells us in chapter 1 that they turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait his Son from the heavens, whom he raised among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer for the coming wrath. These people were totally without any thought of God. They were idolaters. They were Gentiles. And yet when Paul came to preach the glad tidings, they received it. And it said they turned to God from idols. Well, we need to do that, you know. We need to turn away from ourselves. What are you serving in your life? Are you serving an idol? Or have you turned from that to serve the real, true God? Many idols in this world, that they cannot help you, my friend, but God can help you. So they turn to him to serve a living and a true God. Isn't it a wonderful thing we speak of a living God? Not something that's dead. An idol can be something that's dead. It can be in the Old Testament, you read of all these people that worshipped bits of wood and things like that, and they can't speak or anything. We serve and know a living God, a living and a true God. And it says here they did that, and they waited to wait his Son from the heavens. So they had a sense through Paul's preaching that Jesus was in heaven, and that he was coming again soon, and whom he raised from among the dead. I love that, you know. Death couldn't hold Jesus. They put him in that grave. He lay there. They think of those men that took Jesus down from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. How they loved their Lord and their Saviour. Two men you hear nothing much of. Hear a bit about Nicodemus. Didn't hear anything of Joseph of Arimathea until that moment. And they laid him in that tomb. Fulfillment of scripture, it says, as a new tomb. He says he was with the rich in his death. Jesus was laid in that tomb. But 3 days later he came out and burst the portals of the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. There was nothing in Jesus worthy of death. He was spotless, undefiled. He was a perfect man. He didn't sin. He wasn't like you and me. He didn't have a sinful nature. He was one who was able to bear. That's why he was able to bear your sins in his body on the tree, because he was a pure sacrifice that God could accept. And so when Jesus uttered those words on the cross, "It is finished," he could complete. He knew the work was complete, that the basis of your salvation had been laid. And you can believe and trust in the work of Jesus, because it can cleanse you from your sins and all your wickedness. And you can have peace with God. And so these Thessalonians, they believed the report that Paul brought to them. It wasn't his eye. It says it was through them, but it wasn't men's word. It was God's word. And that's what I want to stress tonight in the preaching. It's not my words that count. It's what God is saying to you in the preaching tonight. Oh, will you turn to Jesus in all your need? Do you realize you have a need? Do you realize that you have to face the matter of death? How big a thing it is, you know, the matter of death. Each one of us knows at the end of our life here, death lies at the door. And none of us know when that might take place. It's a really sobering contemplation to think of at any time, at any moment, we can die. And if we haven't got Christ as our Saviour, where will we go? You know, opportunity is given to each one of us. I've sat under hundreds of preachings, maybe thousands of preachings. Has it had any real effect upon my heart and my soul? But really, God tonight is giving you an opportunity that you might turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness for your sins, that you might live eternally with him in glory. I just read that bit at the end in relation to Revelation, because it's a really sobering passage. We don't preach judgment, but we warn people in the gospel of what the results of unbelieving is. It's a terrifying scene, because it speaks of a great white throne, and it speaks of him that sat on it, from whom whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and place was not found for them. Well, this is God's judgment throne, and it's Jesus who's sitting there as a judge. Jesus, who tonight is available to you as a saviour, is available to whosoever will. Gospel's for anybody throughout the world tonight. Anybody who calls upon Jesus can be saved. If they refuse it, and you die in your sins, and you're raised again, because it says here about the dead all being raised. There's nothing, you know, I was speaking to a man recently, told me he had his wife died last year. He says that she was cremated because she said, didn't want to think anybody could bring her to life again. Oh, how foolish the thoughts of men are. God's able for anything, my friend. Speaks about the dead, the sea giving up the dead. You can't run. You can't hide from God. He knows all about you. He's created you. And this scene is a terrifying scene, but it's a scene for unbelievers. So that means there's no excuse for anybody here tonight. We can all be believers. We can all take the gospel for ourselves, accept the finished work of Jesus for our own souls, and know the joy and blessing and peace. God wants to bless you. He's wonderful blessings in store for you. Just as he had in mind for the people of Israel going to that land, he wanted to bless them, give them this wonderful inheritance. And God wants to give you an inheritance in heaven to be with Christ in glory. What a thing that is. Can we lay hold of it, dear hearer? Let's not refuse God's overtures of grace. As I come back to what I started with, who has believed our report? You know, Isaiah must have felt that. I think it says of him that history records that he was actually sawn asunder. He was sawn in half. But what a servant of God he was. He was faithful in the message that he brought. Well, I trust that however feebly the message has come through tonight, that you have got this for yourself. Who has believed our report? Believe the report that's come from heaven, come to this earth, of a Saviour, of Jesus, who has been to this earth, who died, who suffered for sins on the cross, has been raised again and is at the right hand of God. He's available to you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. And my friend, you can come into the realm of salvation and know the blessing for your souls. Well, may it be so. May everyone here be truly believing in Jesus. Because as it says there in chapter 1, it says about unbelievers. It says in there that, but the fearful and unbelieving and sinners, etc. They say their part is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a terrible thought and scene that is, dear friend. It says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for men. But don't be counted amongst unbelievers, but be believing. All God is asking you is to trust him, to take him at his word. And I pray and I trust it may be your portion tonight for his name's sake. Amen.